Hello, Americans. This is Paul Harvey. Stand by for news. Paul Harvey News. From Savannah, Georgia, the American Broadcasting Company and its affiliated stations presents Mr. Paul Harvey with his summary of world news and his personal comments. But before he begins, here is an announcement of interest to all of us. There's an old saying that the more things change, the more they stay the same. That's certainly true in the profession of news gathering. We have modern electronic equipment. We have Telstar. Things have changed since the days of the old leg man. But one important thing is news gathering is even more important now because of that very electronic progress, and that's enterprise. And enterprise is the trademark of ABC Radio's Tom O'Brien. If an important official or business leader is sitting on a story to prevent its being told, Tom O'Brien has the enterprise and the experience to get it told anyway. As a local New York City newscaster, he was the only reporter on the air with his own personal, private, European news source. Hear Tom O'Brien at his enterprising best on ABC Radio. And now, here is Paul Harvey News. You heard? There'd been a fire in Atlantic City. Well, it's under control now, but a whole block of buildings, just a block away from the boardwalk, went up. Five hotels and a rooming house destroyed, and an ancient apartment almost. More than 20 persons dead or presumed dead, and all of them were guests at the Surfside, a hotel for elderly persons. In the spotlight, Detroit's Tigers sure enough did it, traded slugger Rocky Colavito to Kansas City, traded Colavito and pitcher Bob Anderson and money for three, Jerry Lumpy, Ed Rocco, and Dave Wickersham. The Senate of the United States will not be quite the same without Carl Vinson. All of my life, he's been a fixture. For almost 50 years, this distinguished Georgia Democrat has been one of the most powerful voices in behalf of fiscal responsibility and military preparedness. His health appears fine, but Senator Vinson has had 80 birthdays, including today's, and he wants the rest of his years free from official responsibility. Georgia's Governor Sanders says this will facilitate redistricting in his state because there will be only 9 incumbents running now. Glenda Unterreiner, Secretary, 26, moved from St. Louis, Missouri to New York City 6 weeks ago. Last night, she sat in front of her mirror, tiring her hair in her furnished room in Queens, and suddenly slumped over dead from a sniper's bullet through the window. The window through which the bullet came faces the Long Island Railroad tracks. Yale's Professor Barghorn, back home in Connecticut, says he was not spying in Russia, that there was no justification for his arrest and detention, says he was interrogated incessantly. At the same time, 11 Soviet scientists are today on an inspection tour of our National Atomic Laboratory in Oak Ridge, Tennessee. Havana, ouch, communism hurts. They didn't tell us it was going to be like this. When Fidel Castro was leading his rebels down from the hills, he told them they were fighting Batista and the United Fruit Company and the imperialists of the United States. He promised all these things the rich people had, we the workers, one day will have. But he forgot to tell them they'd have to keep working. He neglected to explain that the rich people got rich the only way there is to get rich, by working, and this puts a different complexion on the revolution. The leisure-loving Latin who loves to sit in the shade or play in the surf saw the rich people languishing on the Veradero beaches and dreamed that this would be his life after the revolution. But now, well, Cuba is desperately hungry, a universally needy nation. They took it away from the rich people, all right. So now everybody is poor. And today the brutal taskmaster of the revolutionary government, Minister of Industry, Che Guevara, decrees longer hours with less pay in the cane fields and no malingering. Over Havana Radio, Guevara says Cuba's principal difficulty is the lack of desire of the people to work. So from now on, he says, any work stoppage will be construed as anti-revolutionary, and any striker will be shot. It's a rude awakening for the Cuban peasant. His work is harder, his reward is less than before. But perhaps worst of all, his dream is gone. The Goldwater notion has been seconded by the gentleman from Missouri, Republican National Committeeman Francis Corley. GOP Congressional Campaign Chairman Bob Wilson says Senator Margaret Chase Smith deserves a crack at the title. Says he thinks she has great possibilities. You remember the old vaudeville saw about the soldier who said he was tossed into the guardhouse for going on a furlong? And his friend said, "You mean a furlough?" And he said, "No, a furlong." He says, "I went too far and stayed too long." Today, the Pentagon decreed a new limitation on travel restrictions for active duty servicemen. Too many have been trying to cover 1,000 miles on a brief leave, and it required dangerously fast driving. So now they've limited the furlong. The Navy, for example, says 300 miles is a reasonable par for a three-day pass. How about that chap in New York? Stamp collector walked into the UN building a few months ago and bought 50 of the new 4-cent stamps, housing and urban development stamps, for $2. Sold them for $10,000. He noticed after he got home that they had an imperfection. The black color sections and the commemorative inscription were missing, and the firm to which he sold the stamps for $10,000 will resell those 4-cent stamps for $390 each, or a total of about $20,000. Today, you and I are visiting in the studios of WSGA in Savannah, Georgia, and over the desk, which I have borrowed for this day, is a message I read on an earlier visit today, but in case you missed it, I want you to hear it. It says, and hear this closely now, "You say one picture is worth 1,000 words? Well, let's see about that. You give me 1,000 words, and I'll give you the Lord's Prayer and the 23rd Psalm, and the Hippocratic Oath, and a sonnet by Shakespeare, and the preamble to the Constitution, and Lincoln's Gettysburg Address, and I'll still have enough words left over for just about all of the Boy Scout Oath, and I wouldn't trade you those things for any picture on earth." Page 2. Free sample today. I know you've never heard an insurance man offer you a free sample of anything before. You know, one of the reasons, I think, is because for so many years we had to use what they call court-tested language. And so, you had to have a Philadelphia lawyer sitting at your elbow before you could understand an insurance contract, and it wouldn't have made any sense for an insurance company to offer you a free sample. But now a policy has been written. It's part of the White Cross Plan by Bankers Life and Casualty Company of Chicago. A policy has been written. The GR-739, which is so simple, it's just about 250 words long. About one typewritten page. Easy to understand words. I can. Anybody can. Please let me see that you get a free sample of the policy. A free sample policy. You're not asked to buy it now, just to look it over. Because it sounds too good to be true unless you see it in black and white. I'll see that you get one if you'll just write for your free sample policy to Paul Harvey, Box 6906, Chicago. This is Savannah, Georgia. It has been 7 years since I was last here. Some cities to which you return after a year or so are hardly recognizable anymore. Everything is uncomfortably unfamiliar. In Savannah, everything is comfortably familiar. Oh, there is some newness hereabouts, big upgrading of port facilities, but in Savannah the emphasis is not on newness. I spent last week in our nation's hard-riding, hairy-chested Southwest, out where men are men and everything has to be the newest and the biggest and the most expensive to be the best. This is Savannah, Georgia, where women are ladies and nothing else is worth hardly anything at all unless it's more than 100 years old. Where the new West is stimulating, the old South is refreshing. If the skylines are lower, the pace is slower, the pressures are less. Here and now, as 7 years ago, there is most interest in the restoration and preservation of ancient landmarks. I'll be speaking here tomorrow night to a freedom forum at Savannah's City Auditorium. Between now and then, looking about and listening and relaxing in the park-like atmosphere of a city where the streets detour around the trees. Here as elsewhere, Dixie is wrestling with its conscience these days. Here, where tradition is almost everything, the philosophical tradition is conservative, the political tradition is Democrat, and the two are on a collision course. Everybody still wants to be conservative, everybody still wants to be a Democrat, and you can't be both anymore. It's a hurtful thing for an outsider to watch. It spawns compromise on the one hand and extremism on the other. Here, where a piece of furniture is made more precious by the scuffs and scars which are the patina of time, folks prefer their country and their political party and their society imperfect, without modification, modernization, homogenization. They don't think their old constitution needs a formica top. You familiar with the Route 66 television program? The cast and crew of this TV show are on location in Savannah this week. I breakfast with most of them in the mornings. They're shooting scenes for upcoming episodes and getting an early start these days because all of them want a little time off for Christmas if they can. But as I say, they're shooting scenes for their television program around the town, upsetting nobody. I mean, the stars and the starlets of the series go about their play acting almost unnoticed, or arousing only the most casual curiosity. This is Savannah, Georgia, and it always will be. Here is a potpourri of the day's news from page 3. Oh, in Nashville, Tennessee, Albert Henry Stone fell asleep at the wheel and his car ran through a busy intersection and jumped the curb and tore down a fence and bounced off 3 buildings before it stalled out. You know Henry's unhurt, but awake. Another thing you might have missed, there's a note on a placemat in a restaurant in Covington, Kentucky, which says, quote, 4,076 people last year died of gas. 29 inhaled it, 47 put a match to it, and 4,000 stepped on it. In a car wreck northwest of London, England, the Duchess of Bedford has suffered a concussion, and her 20-year-old daughter is all terribly smashed up. In Tampa, Florida, President Kennedy predicts that you and I will fly routinely. You and I will fly in space at 15,000 miles an hour. He predicts metro planes taking off from the downtown heart of a city, from the crowded center of the city, within 11 years. Baghdad, another scalp on Nasser's belt. The government of Iraq has been seized by that nation's armed forces. They've thrown out the Ba'ath Party, and they're moving now to merge with Syria and the UAR. An American Army sergeant killed in South Vietnam, the 76th American to die in that war. Now Venice, Italy, one of those rare cities which more than lives up to the travel folders, is going modern. The new civic hospital will be designed by a specialist in ultra-modern architecture. OR, for what it's worth, department has an inside story. I mean, mostly for insurance men. A.S. Muir, Gisborne, New Zealand, claim examiner for the insurer, approved the woman's claim for £600 when she lost her valuable diamond ring. She lost her diamond now almost a year ago, and the insurance company paid her the thousands of dollars it was worth. The other day, the woman wrote that she had found the missing diamond. Mrs. Muir, or rather Mr. Muir, read the first line of the letter, elated that his company would regain its loss now. She had found her ring. But then he read on, and the woman said she had found the ring, so she did not think it was fair to keep the money which the insurance company had paid her. So she had donated the money to the Boy Scouts. Paul Harvey. Good day.
Win, lose, or draw, it's always a great day for the Irish when the Notre Dame football team takes the field. Being human, the Irish would rather win, but they'd rather lose to a stronger opponent than win from a weaker one. This year's and other years, the Irish play a formidable schedule as any college team in the country. Every Saturday, the Notre Dame game represents an intersectional battle of national interest. And every Saturday, ABC Radio brings you every moment of the action, plus all the crowd excitement and color. Jim Gibbon is a vivid man with a play-by-play description, and affable Moose Krause shares all the crowd excitement with you. Before and after the Notre Dame game every Saturday, Howard Cosell fills you in on the football picture all over the country with final scores after each Notre Dame game. For college football enjoyment at its keenest, listen every Saturday to ABC Radio. Paul Harvey News will be heard tomorrow at this time over most of these stations with a summary of world news and his personal comments. This program came to you from Savannah, Georgia. This is the ABC Radio Network.